on 98 FM and online. This is Phoenix FM.
Welcome to another Warren Hour. I hope you enjoyed the extended 12-inch version of Tijuana Taxi there. My name's Jamie Stripe. I'm standing in as host for Billy Herring, who's a little bit throaty, as they say. And I'm joined in the studio tonight by former O's player Barry Lakin.
Evening, Barry. Jamie. How are you?
Yeah, I'm fine. Looking forward to talking about all the action this week. We've had quite a lot to talk about, and of course, last night's game.
Yeah, it's been a good week watching TV. A great result on Saturday, but a bit disappointing last night, so yeah, looking forward to the show.
Yeah, and there's a lot to obviously cram in. Tonight, we'll be looking back at the last night's match at Forest Green Rovers and hear from Ross Embleton and Dave Victor and Matt Hiscock following that disappointing 2-1 defeat at the New Lawn Stadium. And those of you who streamed the game on Orient Live TV would have been entertained by presenting Joe, Andy Butler and Glenn Wilkie. And hopefully they will be joining us over the phone to pick the bones out of that O's performance. We'll also look back on the terrific 4-0 win over Bolton Wanderers and the upcoming FA Cup tie in Newport County on Saturday. So a little bit of FA Cup action for you, Barry, to get your teeth into.
Yep, love the FA Cup. First round brings back some fond memories. If you've got a spare couple of hours, I can talk to you about the 1993 at home to Gravesend and Northfleet.
Well, it's funny you should say that, because Andy Gilson very kindly stuck a little bit of that footage up on Twitter today, and I think those who saw it would add a little chuckle with the Eustace out that came roaring up after we went 1-0 down in that game. But as we say, we'll kick off by hearing from Dave and Matt first of all. Orient going into this one making two changes from Saturday's win over Bolton. Jamie Turley and Josh Wright coming into the starting 11, and Joby McEnough and Josh Coulson dropping down to the bench.
Well, Matt, disappointing on a very cold night at Forest Green.
Yeah, minor setback, Forest Green. Say, good side. I think they'll be up there at the end of the season, but just disappointed to lose a game with two defensive set pieces.
Absolutely. But there should have been a penalty. Maybe should have been two penalties.
Yeah, it looked like a stonewall penalty from where we were. Connor Wilkinson, when that challenge came in, Andy Warmer thought about it. He was in a good position, but in astonishment, he just didn't give it, didn't blow the whistle. Orient players protested, the Orient bench protested, but yeah, it seemed a really strange decision, didn't it?
James Brophy really threatened in the second half, and he was a real threat throughout the afternoon on Saturday. What a performance, what a victory over the might of Bolton Wanderers.
Yeah, it was superb on Saturday, wasn't he? And good again tonight, particularly in the first half for the used the game plan, got in behind the defensive line at times. From a counter-attacking perspective, Brophy is a really lethal weapon. The way he carries the ball, he drives it forward, the pace he's got. He gets into the penalty box, really dangerous for defenders. You don't really want to touch him, but again, he was at the heart of the goal tonight and a good performance from him, particularly first half. Second half, a little bit quieter, but good to see him getting forward and obviously taking his opportunity in the front three line.
And on Saturday, there were four goals from four different players. You could have a goal of the month competition from that game alone.
Yeah, it was fantastic, wasn't it? The game itself, the performance and the result. But minor setback tonight. I think Forest Green are a decent side. They'll be up and around the playoffs come the end of the season. A difficult one, as I say, particularly just the way the goals were conceded. But Ross Embleton, I'm sure, will be looking forward to Saturday, Newport County, the FA Cup, and of course, Justin Edinburgh, the two former clubs of his. So it'll be a special day.
Yes, and there's two sort of knockout competitions coming up, isn't there, with Charlton Athletic on the Tuesday night. So an opportunity for the squad really to get a chance.
Yeah, I think that's one thing the O's do have. They've got a lot of depth, and I'm sure Ross Embleton will be looking to freshen things up. He'll give players their opportunity. There's been a lot of players who've had to be patient, and results, and in the recent weeks, the form's been good. So players just need to make sure they are ready when they come in. It's an important game. We've talked about it. We've had a joke, but I think it is important to top the group and get a home tie. You don't really want to be travelling the likes of Exeter in the next stages.
And this season, you know, with finances so difficult, a run in the cup would make such a difference. And it feels as if Orient deserve a run in the cup after what happened in the League Cup.
Yeah, I just feel they'll be looking to put things right after last year. We all know what happened, of course, with the first round exit. But from a financial perspective, this year is really like no other. And every penny is absolutely critical. I think, first and foremost, domestic campaign. Of course, you want to be competing in the league, first and foremost, your bread and butter. But getting through to the latter stages, or the third round, I suppose, is where you look at the financial incentives with TV money. Of course, we don't know what the situation is going to be like, and obviously crowd and gate receipts would add value. Probably unlikely to get that this time of year, but it's about getting into the hat and a big tie and maybe getting a bit of TV money.
Thanks, Matt.
Well, there we have it. Dave and Matt going through last night's game. What do you think about that, Barry?
Last night's game? Yeah. I try to always be positive about matches in particular that are close to you, in particular, like Lorient. The goals, very disappointing, as Ross has pointed out as well, two set pieces. I will say that they were good deliveries for the set pieces. The first one, unfortunately, the young right-back just got muscled out of the second play, and it was a good finish. The second one is a really good corner in, a decent whipped in, decent height, difficult to defend. Wilkinson's flicked it on for the guy at the far post just to tap in. Disappointing the fact of we had, I think, three Orient players and the keeper have all gone for that, with possibly one maximum Forest Green Rover player there. So on that front, really disappointing. On the flip side, I thought we attacked pretty well. Could we have done more? Possibly yes. On reflection, you're always going to go, we could have done this better, we could have done that. I thought we always looked a threat. I like the shape of the team, especially going forward. Could we do with some more legs in midfield? Possibly, yeah. Did we miss Joby? Yes. But overall, you know, I really enjoyed Wilkie's analysis of it as well. He came away really angry, and I feel for that. But on reflection, I just think if we'd just give it a bit more, we could have got more out of the game. My other point that was bringing up quite a bit was the fact of at 1-1, it's a plain penalty, stonewall penalty, that on Wilkinson. You go 2-1 up, it's a total different game. They're now chasing the game, and we would have definitely got them on the counter attack again. So you know, I wouldn't say it's a terrible day at the office. Could we play better? Yeah, Forest Green Rovers, I think they're going to be up there once again. They showed all their attitude of wanting to get a bit gritty, and yeah, disappointing result. But I wouldn't say it was an awful performance, in my opinion.
Okay, well, after the game, Dangerous Dave, Dulcet Dave, and Dangerous Dave, whatever you want to call him, caught up with Ross Embleton, and Ross Embleton had this to say.
Well, Ross, thanks for joining us. It's a disappointing night.
Yes, disappointing because of the result. You know, when you come here, it's a good team. They're going to dominate possession of the ball. Ultimately, we lose the game because of two set pieces. Whether we like it, you know, with the moans and groans, we have had chances ourselves on the counter-attack to probably bring or get something out of the game. But ultimately, when you come to a place like this, you know you're going to be in for a tough night. So you don't want to give opportunities away. And we, you know, ultimately, that's how we've lost the game tonight.
It certainly was, but there could have been another set piece, surely, in that second half. Strong appeals for a penalty.
It's outrageous, Dave, to be honest. I've got an issue, real issue, personally, because I stand up and I talk to a fourth official, and people will say that I probably do it too much, but it's been a conscious thing that I've really made an effort with this year. The minute I stand up, I get told to sit down. Four members of staff from Forest Green around the fourth official all night tonight, getting in his ear, trying to influence that. How on earth he doesn't give either one of the penalties, by the way, because Josh Wright's about to get hold of the ball, whether he scores himself or not, he gets pulled to the floor, and as Connor's about to put it in, he takes his ankles away. It's a penalty all day long.
Let's talk about the equaliser. It's taken well, but Jane Spofy on the left-hand side.
Yes. seems forever ago now, doesn't it? But we had a couple of moments like it, didn't we? And we knew it was going to be an area where we could hurt Forest Green. And I think Brove certainly utilised that really early in the game. And he's touched sort of run away with it from him in the early stages when we could have had a chance. And you know, like I say, broke away, especially in the first half on a number of occasions and looked a real threat. Another one where he cut back, I think, might have been for Danny Johnson. Oh, no, if it's for Josh Wright, it's very similar to the goal, a bit further out. So we knew it was going to be an area that we could threaten and hurt them, and it was nice to get the goal and get back on level terms in that fashion.
Didn't have as much space in the second half, though.
No, and like I say, they're a good team, Dave, and we tried to press in the first half and tried to be aggressive and get on the front foot, and when a team like this gets a control on the game, you have to look at a different tactic, you have to look at a different way of doing that. And if you can't get pressure higher up the pitch, then you know we look to try to counter-attack, and we did it on a couple of occasions, not as many probably in the first half, and didn't look quite as much of a threat, but all the same, you know, we did have our moments.
It's not often you see Dan Johnson come off.
No, and I think, you know, people will always question that, but Dan's played a hell of a lot of football. Hell of a lot of football. Royal was lively when he come on, and you know he's been missing with a bang to the head over the last couple of weeks, but he's fully, you know, fully deserves to get out there on the pitch. And I'm really conscious that I don't want to run Danny into the ground. We need to keep him fresh. We need to keep him ready, and we need to expose people like Royal to get him out there to try and liven it up and make a bit of a change out there.
Lawrence Vigouroux made a superb save in that second half. He also took quite a nasty knock, didn't he?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, it's not a great foul on him, to be honest. The striker knows fully aware what he's doing and rolls underneath him, and Loz can hurt himself. You know, the way he falls on his head, it was a worrying moment for Lawrence. But his save was excellent. I think he's been an outstanding asset to us. He's been an outstanding player and person that we've recruited since January, and I think he only appears to be getting better every week.
Turn your attention to the Cup now, Newport County. How are you going to approach that one?
Well, it's a game that we want to win. I'm really looking forward to going up against Newport, because it's like tonight, it's a team that are probably going to finish at the top end of the league. So I'm really excited about, you know, putting my team out and us out against Newport to really have a good go. So we'll have to weigh up what, you know, our people have come for it. There will be an opportunity to, you know, freshen a few people up and give people an opportunity to play. But it won't be, you know, full wholesale changes that we'll make. So we'll have a look at that over the next coming days and see who's really nursing any knocks or issues.
And you've got Charlton after that, so there is an opportunity for the squad, isn't there? Is it going to be too soon for the likes of Leanne Gull and maybe Miles Judd?
I would expect probably. I hope there's an opportunity for him to play, but it might come a few days too early in terms of getting him out there. But it'd be great if we could. That will be a night when we give people a real opportunity and rotate the team round, because there is players here, as I've said to you over the last couple of games, that have done things right and deserve their chance. So the next couple of games could well be that time for them.
How's young Tom staying on?
Sorry?
Thomas.
Jordan, yeah, good. Yeah. I mean, like I say, for me, Jordan epitomises what a good attitude you need to have. And when you're waiting in the wings, it's frustrating, you know. Young Tunji as well has stepped into the team and sort of taken his opportunity. So Jordan's done everything right. You know, you'll see him here now doing his running and getting himself prepared. And I've been impressed with his professionalism. It must be very, very frustrating. He's come here to get League 2 experience and it hasn't happened for him. But I'm sure that it won't be too far away.
Well, good luck. Thank you very much, Ross. Thank you.
Well, there you go. That was a bit of a tough one to take last night, wasn't it? I thought we were competitive in that game, and Forest Green, to be honest, were building up to a winner throughout the second half. There was a lot of ball coming into our box, but yet again, you kind of thought, you know, if we can just hang on, we could get a well-earned point there, and we were on quite a good run with four undefeated, three wins out of four. Point there would have been such a boost going into the FA Cup this week, and also, you know, maintaining a steady climb up the table. Barry, what do you think about the substitutions we made in that second half? Do you think we should have kept the Wilco one a bit longer?
It's always difficult to say after the event and where I think we could have put that person on, that player on. Was we running out of legs in midfield? Possibly a bit, because they did have a lot of possession, Forest Green. They were switching the ball from left to right, right to left very often, and exposing Brophy and Wilkinson as trying to get them to track back. Maybe could have put them on a bit earlier, but like we say, I'll still go back to that. If you're 2-1 up with the pen, it's a different game. The subs, did they have an effect? Kind of, we were chasing the game a little bit. I mean, it's a little bit all rushed towards the ends. But like you say, I think if you hold out for the 1-1, the momentum is still going into the weekend. But it's one of those days, really, one of the evenings where we just didn't get the rub of the green.
Yeah, I don't think it was a bad performance by any stretch of the imagination. And I think you're right, I think we did run out of legs a little bit in the midfield. There was a few periods of sloppy play when we won the ball and gave it away quite quickly. And I think against sides like Forest Green, you have to kind of hang on to it, because they did try and work the ball wide at a lot of occasions, and their pressing was quite good, I thought. So, unfortunately for us, never quite come off. I'm just wondering, maybe next time, maybe try and get Joby on a bit earlier, put four in the middle, try and hang on to what we've got. You know, the way we play at the moment, that 4-3-3 or 4-1-2-3 formation, whichever way you want to call it, sometimes we do seem to be a bit outnumbered in the middle.
Yeah, no, you're right. So it seemed for me that the starting position of the two wide boys, Wilkinson and Brophy, for me, was slightly higher. If you look back at the game, especially the first 20, a lot of balls coming across our box. I don't think that was kind of like doubling up, and it was, they was leaving it one-on-one for the fullbacks to deal with, which is fine. And you can understand, well, you know, we trust our fullbacks. We want them to win the ball. As soon as they win the ball, can they give it to our wingers? And now we're hitting them on the break, which we saw. And to be fair, after the first 20 minutes of the storm kind of thing, you know, if you remember, Brophy's gone through from probably just inside our own half, broke away brilliant with his speed, and he just got to the final bit where he just wanted to lift over the keeper, and he overrun it slightly. The keeper's come out and done a pretty good job on blocking that. So, you know, it's down to the tactics of the manager. Always on hindsight, you think you could do better, but you know, like I say, just one of them things where could we have changed it? Possibly, but it is what it is now.
Okay, well, I'm glad to say, hopefully we are joined on the line by one of the presenting team from Orient Live TV, Andy Butler. Welcome to the Orient Hour, Andy.
Hello, how are you doing?
I'm fine, thank you. How yourself?
Yeah, very well, thank you.
How are you finding presenting duties? I should think I should think a warm studio is preferable to a stint on the damp touchline.
I have to say, I'm back on Saturday afternoon, and I've already bought my big coat out from the wardrobe in preparation for that, because it's going to be marginally colder than it was last Saturday. Even last Saturday was almost threatened by rain as well. So yeah, the warm studio last night was probably the only consolation I had.
Well, I should think that next week you'll be a little bit warmer anyway, especially with Glenn Wilkie keeping you company.
It's very warm company.
Yeah. Now, I think we came away from the match last night with a bit of a downer. Is that how you saw it?
Yeah. I mean, obviously we've all had a day to think about it. It's still a disappointing result, I think, in the way that we battled back and got back to 1-1 in the game as well. I thought we did a fantastic job of that. And also to see that unbeaten streak go as well, when you're drawing a game like that, getting back into the game, you're thinking actually 1-1 away at Forest Green is a good result. Forest Green, though, I expect to be there or thereabouts at the end of the season, so it's not overly disappointing. It's still disappointing, but it's not a result that is a complete shocker for the O's.
Yeah, I'm just wondering, what do you make of the season so far? Do you think we're performing better than you thought at the beginning of the season?
I mean, I thought that we would probably end up perhaps mid-table pushing for playoffs at the start of the season, and I think we all know that, you know, with the current situation, it's anyone's game really in the league. And so I thought, actually, if you put a run of games together, get a bit of momentum behind you, then you'll be pushing, you know, for the playoffs or maybe even promotion. You see what that's what teams like Newport have been doing as well. But I think it's been an okay start to the season, and I have to stress that it is only the start of the season as well. We're only in November. It's going to be a long season. It could be like even elongated by everything that's going on, and games will come thick and fast as well. But you know, we're mid-table now, not threatened by relegation at all. There are teams in the league much much worse off than us as well. So I'm not too disappointed. I would have liked to have unbeaten run to continue last night as well, just because we then go into that run of two cup games and with a bit of momentum behind us, and kick on from there.
Yeah. Last night, Barry reckons that was a major, major Stonewall penalty last night. Is that how you saw it in the studio with Glenn?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, we know what Connor Wilkinson does, which is, you know, he gets in good positions, and he actually, the way he uses the ball at his feet, he doesn't always take the shot first time, and that's exactly what he did yesterday. And the defender just has not seen that coming at all. He's thinking he's going to have the shot first time up. And he's not, and so he's gone diving in there, and it's a complete Stonewall penalty for me, which is a real shame, because we don't usually actually come off the pitch complaining about decisions like that, but the referee's right there, and he's got to be seeing something like that, really.
Yeah, it was a bad miss, I should think. Now, who do you think are becoming the big players for us this time round? Obviously, every season, one or two players come through and make a bit of a name for themselves and establish themselves. Who do you think are our sort of standout performers so far?
I mean, I think in the last couple of weeks, James Brophy being pushed up into that attacking role. I've been a huge fan of Brophy ever since he's joined us, and I think, you know, him in defence does a fine job. There's no doubt in the job that he does there, but actually seeing him being pushed up the field a little bit more has been so effective. Three assists in the last two games, you know, speaks for itself. He could be such a key player, because, you know, we know that in all levels of the game, the one thing that is impossible to play against is pace, and that's what he's got in abundance. So he's been one of our standout players. I think Craig Clay's been superb again this season. Just such a great midfield general. And obviously, actually, Danny Johnson, you know, we speak about his goals, but his work off the ball and the way that he builds up play in that role, I think it's certainly taken me by surprise, because we've got some decent attacking options, but I thought at the end of last season, or towards the end of last season and since he's joined, he didn't start brilliantly, and he's really surprised me in that respect, in terms of how many goals he's got, and you know, other teams will be looking to mark him, which just it plays into our favour, because it means that we get, you know, other attacking players on the ball, and you know, we'll be flying.
I'm just going to bring Barry Lakin in on this one. What is your opinion on Brophy as an attacking sort of wing forward or fullback? Where would you like to see him operate more?
Well, I think the obvious answer is we all want to see him out wide, pushed up. That's where he's dangerous. For one reason or the other, the manager decided to put him fullback for what reasons? That's down to the manager and the squad. The player give it his best playing at fullback. There didn't seem to me any unrest. So you know, if the manager's happy with it, the squad's happy with it. Like I said the other week when I phoned in, it's down to the respect. But ultimately, we've seen him play now the last two games in the wide position. Does he look very dangerous? Yes. Do we think we should keep him there? Yes. So it's down to the, you know, it's down now to Woodenstow behind him to make sure he keeps his position, keeps his form up, so we can see Brophy out wide ripping it up down the wing, because that's what he's done in the last two games that I've seen.
Yeah. Going back to Andy, what do you think of Josh Wright's performance last night?
I mean, I think he started quite slowly, but I think that's probably down to the fact that he hasn't had much game time. But I was really pleased to see him get on the score sheet. It was actually interesting with that midfield three of Clay, Cisse, and Wright. I was discussing before the game, you know, where's that creativity going to be coming from? We all know that Cisse and Wright and Clay, all three of them are decent ball winners. But when you don't have Mackinough in that middle three, it's sometimes tricky to see where you're going to get any kind of spark of creativity and that transition away from defence into the attack line will come from. But going back to Wright, I think what he does do very well is he arrives very late. He does help out the attacks when, you know, they've slowly built up. And I thought he took his goal well. And we've seen that in the past. You know, I think maybe his goal against Cheltenham at the start of last season, where he arrives late in the box and he is the one who's there at the end of it, at the end of the move. And, you know, I thought he started quite slowly, but, you know, him getting on the score sheet will do him a world of good.
Yeah, I mean, he also came quite close earlier in the first half when Brophy made a run down the wing and cut back and he skied his shot. So there's a school of thought that if you play Cisse and Wright in the same team, sometimes it doesn't come off for us. And I know that the problem we've got is that Mackinough just can't play every game, even though he's doing fantastically at 39. Do you think that we should try and move to sign another midfield player?
I mean, I think we're doing all right at the moment because actually, you know, we look at a team like Forest Green last night. They have Carl Winchester in midfield, who's so good on the ball. And actually, I think we did quite a good job of nullifying his threat. And I think it's in those sort of games where if you play Wright and Cisse together, if you can just keep it tight in the middle of the park and allow maybe Clay to either push on a little bit or get him on the ball a little bit and get the ball out wide, then you do a good job of playing against teams like Forest Green. I think we also did a good job of that against Bolton with their player Anthony Sarsavich as well in the midfield. They did quite a similar job. I wouldn't be looking at central midfielders as a position that we need to strengthen right now. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I would like to see, you know, either someone who can do something that Mackinough does, because, as you say, Joby won't be able to play all the minutes in the season. A little spark of creativity, someone who can, you know, get on the ball and get it out wide quicker would be good to see. But I wouldn't personally be looking at it as like a position of great concern right now.
Okay. Well, we've got the FA Cup tie against Newport County Cup on Saturday. Do you see Ross rotating the squad a little bit?
I think he will. It'll be an interesting one to see how Ross plays this, because obviously, I mean, none of us, you know, want to see, you know, the performance that we put into the FA Cup last season repeated, which was obviously terrible from a fan's point of view. But I think it'll be a good chance for, you know, the players like Sotiriou to get a start back in. Obviously, he's had this, you know, slight... where he had a knock on the head, didn't he, a couple of weeks ago, so that's why he's been out. And then players like Louis Dennis and Dates, if he's available, to get on the pitch as well, just get them minutes as well, see what they're able to do. I don't think Lee Angle will be available for Saturday. I think he's available possibly for Charlton on Tuesday. But, you know, players like Dennis are spoken of really highly by people within the club, but he is not getting the minutes at the moment. So it'll be interesting to see if he is able to, you know, to get that start in place. And it's a game that we obviously want to be winning every game. Be interesting to see if Newport switch up their team as well, because they're doing so well in the league. They might just, you know, want to focus on the league at this point. So I hope we win, of course, but I don't think there'll be too many, you know, a whole lot of changes.
Right. Now, I've seen some footage. Now, I've seen some footage of you having a medical at the O's training ground. How was that for you? And Barry, well, was a medical Orient, was a player tougher than an afternoon and the bells in Leighton High Road?
Well,
go on, Andy.
Well, the crucial thing is, and I say this to people, I did pass my medical, so I was available to be signed whenever they wanted me to be signed. It was a couple of years ago, but it was good. Yeah, we did it when we were working with Dream Team. We did it alongside them. And, yeah, the medical just took into a lot of stuff, which a player does go into when they have their medical. Or it, I dare say it was probably not quite as comprehensive as if we were signing an actual player, because they knew that I was just there to go down a film. All I needed to do was work on my flexibility, but I knew that beforehand because I can't even touch my knees, let alone my toes. But it was an interesting afternoon. I was put through my paces by the physios there at the time. But yeah, I've got the full on. I think I've still got them at home as well. I've still got my my forms saying that I would have passed the Orient medical if they needed to. And but I just you know, I'm still waiting for the call basically from the club.
Yeah, aren't we all? A call that will never come. Barry, with last night's result still ringing in our ears, where do the likes of Jamie Turley fit in? Does he get a game on Saturday to keep the run going, or does Ross bring back Josh Coulson?
Good question. I liked Turley last night, to be fair. I think he's done a good job. I'm also liking the idea of Josh coming back into the team. For me, I think I'd go with our strongest team. I think Newport might come with a slight weaker team because they've had obviously a cracking start to the season. But, you know, notoriously, they're quite a good team for the whole duration of the campaign regarding cup matches. You know, they got knocked out by Newcastle for the League Cup. So it's going to be a really interesting game. For me, like I say, I would go for our strongest 11 and then, you know, see how we are after 60 minutes and start to give other people a game.
Yeah. So, moving swiftly on, last time I think we played Newport County was in 1982 and we lost 1-0, I think, there. Many years ago, Andy, when me and you had hair. So, If we're really looking to win the next game, and then get on to the round two, I'm going off the script. The next game after that is against Charlton in the EFL Trophy. So how would we kind of line up for that?
Was that to me? Sorry.
Yes, yours.
Yeah. For the EFL Trophy, I mean, anyone's game really. Now for the EFL Trophy, I think we all know kind of where a lot of people stand on them. On that competition, obviously we're away at Charlton, which will be a decent, you know, decent enough test, I suppose. But I mean, everyone at the club, you know, you hear Ross talking in interviews. Everyone knows as a fan, we're playing so many games at the moment that everyone, will, you know, every player will need a rest. Doesn't matter how young, how old they are, everyone will need a rest. And you know, with the cup game coming up on Saturday, and then again on Tuesday, the Tuesday one will be less, less priority, I think, than the FA Cup. But I wouldn't be surprised if you know, the players who play on Saturday also play on Tuesday if they've not been in kind of the league squad or the league teams, as it were. So you know, the likes of Dennis, I think Angle will probably get a start if he's available, and you know, as I said, I think he should be available from what I've heard. And and then in the midfield, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if we'd make a lot of changes even at half time and just switch it up that way. It's a competition that it's a hard one to judge because you'd like to think that we can challenge in it because it's the EFL Trophy and you know, it's a good, you know, it's some bit of silverware that is within our reach. But at the same time, in a season like this, do we want to be focusing on it too much? I'm not sure.
Yeah. Anyway, well, thank you for joining us tonight, Andy. Thanks for finally taking your time out to talk to us. And good luck for Saturday.
Absolute pleasure. Cheers, guys.
Well done, Andy. See you, mate.
Cheers. Bye.
Right, hopefully, Glenn Wilkie's going to come in and have a little chat with us, but Andy's waving his arms at me, so I shall talk a little bit more about yesterday's game. What is there to say? I don't know. I think, looking back at it now, I think that... Oh, is Glenn there? Thank God for that. Glenn, are you there?
I am here indeed.
Thank God you've come to the bloody rescue, mate. Okay, now, at the end of last night's game, you came in and said that you felt angry at that result. Is that how you feel now that the dust has settled?
You know what? I was fuming last night, as I come across on the box, but obviously had a couple of hours drive home. That sort of made me think about the game, and then this morning I had a proper look at the highlights from the game last night, because I didn't have my glasses and I couldn't see too well. So I had a proper look and I paused a few bits and analysed it as much as I could. Still angry with the referee's decisions. I know Barry's spoken about it tonight with a penalty, a blatant penalty, a few other bits and pieces. The anger sort of wore away. I feel sorry for the squad, really, that they could have got something out of the game, but they were denied it. But then again, like Barry said, we didn't play that great. Obviously, there was a few shining lights. Brophy, who has got absolutely frightening pace. He was unreal in that first half. He can catch pigeons. he was superb, so he was a highlight. There was a couple of others who had reasonable games. I thought Turley was superb. But having looked back, I've calmed down. I've got to calm down, otherwise I'll have an heart attack, won't I? So, it is what it is. You can't change it, so you move on.
Glenn, what do you think about team for Saturday, FA Cup? What's your thoughts?
I think he'll make a couple of changes. Look, the bench last night was so strong. When I say a couple, we could make three or four. And it wouldn't impact negatively the side, I don't think, too much.
Where are we changing? Are we going forwards, midfield? What's kind of like the shape of the team you're looking at?
He's got Raul Sartori bench. He needs a game after his suspected concussion the other week. You've got JMB, who didn't play a minute last night. He's been in a good bit of form. You can stick him on. It depends who's available Saturday. I'd definitely like to see them. So obviously, Jovi Makanoff, will he sit out again? All right, he got on last night for, 15 minutes? Maybe less. Mm. There's three straight away. But if he gives Jovi a game or gives him 60 minutes, he can obviously rest him on Tuesday night and in the other cup, and then sort of get him prepared for the following game at Colchester next week.
Well, just to stray away from the topic a little bit, but we keep talking about this thing about resting players and have him rest and stuff.
It's a great excuse for a manager dropping someone. Oh, yeah, he needs rest.
Yes, so when we talk about resting players, though, we're going down the route of are we sharing positions, getting players on, getting them off. What's your way around that?
Do you know what? I think the real impact players, i.e. your midfielders, the ones who give you a bit of sparkle, you can change if they go slightly off the ball, they look a bit jaded, you can change them up, give them a little bit of a break, and then hopefully they come back in form. But also, if they are in form, you don't want to rest them because they could quickly be out of form. I think with defenders, do they need resting? I don't think defenders really need resting. They don't run as much. They have a decent game. The only time in our day when we played, if you were told you were getting rested, it was because you were out of form and you wasn't doing very well.
Yeah.
I think these days looking after players' sort of physical, mental side of it is at the forefront of managers' decisions as well as tactical. But what do we know? We're just here talking about it. You know what
I mean? Yeah, yeah.
They get to see them in training. They've got all this full science stuff. They can see their levels, what their fitness levels are like. So maybe they do need resting. But in my day, I would have been fuming if I'd been playing well and I got told I needed rest.
No, you're right. So, by the way, brilliant last night.
Thanks, mate.
It is really a bit of a reunion. It's a really, yeah, really, really well. You, good 30 minutes pre-show, and I really enjoyed it. So well done. So going on to Saturday, have you got any experience of the FA Cup? What's your best experience of the FA Cup?
Best experience of the FA Cup. I played in it in non-league. I didn't manage to plan it for the O's. In non-league, I think my last FA Cup game, we got beat. I was playing for Enfield at the time with Tom Loise, who was a manager, and John Sitton as the assistant manager, I think, that day. And we got beat, I can't think who to, but they scored a goal and it took a deflection off my shin and went in, which was disappointing. But what was more disappointing was on the Monday morning in the Sun newspaper on the stats sort of page, and it said Wilkie own goal in the column. I was absolutely fuming. Never ever an own goal, but they had me down as Wilkie own goal in the last FA Cup match.
Glenn, we're 11 games into the season and occupy 13th place. Is that a fair reflection of where we are as a team?
Well, it is because that's what we've got. So, do the performance warrant more points? Possibly. Have we got points where we've not played very well and we didn't warrant them? Possibly. I just think it is what it is. We had the break, obviously, the COVID, the players going down with COVID, which was bad for the cup, and obviously the following fixture, which wasn't great. I just think they are where they are. Ifs and buts in games, you get luck, you get bad luck. It is what it is. And I keep saying that, is you can't change it. That's where you are. At the end of the season, we come top of the league, we won the championship. Were we lucky to do that? Well, you ain't going to worry about that.
No. As a former fullback, how do you think Akinola's settling in?
Do you know what, right? His first couple of games, I thought, although he doesn't look pacey, but he's quick. He doesn't look pacey, but I thought he was a little bit naive with some of the positions he was taking up defensively, and he was allowing the wingers to get crosses in. But as I've seen him a couple of games after that, he's fitted in really, really well there. I like him. The only problem with him is he doesn't get forward, as in, well, Joe Widdowson tried to get forward as much as he could last night, but he doesn't get the ball and look to get forward as much. He's almost sort of shuffles in next to his centre-halves and thinks, because he's a centre-half by trade, isn't he, originally? So maybe he's more comfortable doing that than getting on the ball and trying to join the attack.
I'm just thinking, are we getting near to that eight out of ten performance level required to compete as a top 10 team? Are we far away, Barry?
On last night's performance, I'd be saying six, seven players. I think we got up there to like 7 out of 10. Key positions, probably not. As we said, they're sitting in the middle of the park. I just thought we just got overrun in there. Just due for as Andrew mentioned, very, very good Forest Green midfield players. So when you've got the two Cisse and Josh Wright in the middle, you know, we all can see that they don't get about the park as much as Clay does. You know, he's doing an awful lot of their dirty work, if you like to say. And you know, when we have Joby in there, we're a lot more possession football. He doesn't really do outrageously long reaching passes. He keeps it nice and tied in, and it's more of a possession game. You know, saw a few goals now, Byron, where there's been like 8-9 man moves, and he's been instrumental to that. So, you know, on last night's performance, I thought Dan Happy was brilliant. You know, I watched him probably 3 years ago when we was in the national league. He was just a young boy then, and he looks like a strapping man. You know, he was hitting some lovely crossfield passes out to Connor Wilkinson, and I don't know if you remember one last night. It's about probably a 60-yard straight ball down into the path of Brophy. Fantastic pass, you know. It looks like he's got everything, and maybe Colson deserves a lot of that credit when he's got, you know, got a young lad beside him. He's teaching him his the craft of being out of centre half, when to go short, when to drop off, when to attack the ball. So, you know, I thought both centre halves done pretty okay last night. So it's both two set pieces, so that's quite difficult to swallow for them. DJ up top, I thought he worked really hard. I didn't really have many chances. And then the two wide men kind of huffed and puffed a little bit. So yeah, probably on that ratio, what you've just said there, the 7 and 8 out of 10, you know, as I've just maybe five or six, but you know, to get, I think it's getting there. I like the shape of the squad. Like Glenn said, it's a strong bench. If you've got a strong bench, surely you've got a strong squad.
Yeah. Definitely.
So I just think last night, if we'd have played, me and Glenn spoke previously, we looked really, really good as soon as we went a goal down. Do you agree, Glenn?
100%. I said it last night on the telly. I thought we looked to sort of react rather than sort of go out and take the game to them. But it happened both goals. Every time they scored, we then got on the front foot, sort of said, no, well, we're going to play a bit now. That's not come from the coaching staff or the manager. That's a player's decision.
Yeah, from within.
On the pitch.
Yeah, from within. And I thought all of a sudden there's a surge and everyone became a bit braver on the ball. But to be fair, the back four then squeezed up another 15 yards. So now we condensed the play to the middle, to the final third for Forest Green Rovers. And we did create a few more chances. And I think we just looked to more hungrier then. And as I say, when it was kind of like 0-0, 1-0, we was kind of almost happy to go away with that result and thinking, yeah, that's a good result on the road. But it's always like after the event, if they would have had that attitude from the off, yeah. And I think that, you know, those boys will know on the way home that night, it's a long journey home from Forest Green Rovers, that they could have, there was something there, because I don't think there's a massive gap between the two teams, possibly a bit more belief.
Yeah. As ex-pros, do you think that playing two games a week is going to take its toll at some point?
Oh, I bet they're really tired with that.
Do you know what? If you're playing two games a week, you're training less and you get more recovery days. So,
Glenn, here's a question for you. Sorry to cut you in, mate.
Sure, mate.
Would you rather play or train?
Oh, play all day long.
Yeah.
Think of all that appearance money. No, definitely, you'd always play, don't you? You train all to play on a Saturday. That's what you do. But if you've got two games, it's like, if you've had a bad result, the next game comes quicker and you can do something about it, rather than sort of the atmosphere around the training ground for a week thinking, oh, we lost last week, last Saturday. Well, you know what I mean? You can do it quickly. But there's nothing like playing games, all right? It's nothing like playing games in front of supporters, but they're not there at the moment. So that's a little bit tougher, but love playing football. That's what you train for.
Yeah, Andrew Butler brought up last night on the stream. Brilliant, brilliant result against Bolton. You know, great performance, good character from DJ after missing the pen. Good response by scoring straight after. You know, beating Bolton at home.
That was me, by the way.
What?
Who said that?
Okay, sorry, mate. but the response was amazing. 4-0, and you kind of almost don't want a midweek game. You want to kind of like dine out on that for a couple of days. But, you know, with how the year's going and with COVID, etc., we are playing twice a week. So on the back of, like, obviously, a poor result, not poor performance, so, you know, maybe an average performance, they've got a chance to go again and put it right on Saturday in the FA Cup.
Yeah, I think we better go and have a little look back at that Bolton performance. It was our biggest ever win over Bolton Wanderers, 4-0. And the last time we entertained them at Brisbane Road was October 1992, so a 1-0 win. Steve Akai,
there we go. Me and Stevie played apprenticeship together, and then he got released and never saw him again. But a very, very tidy player.
I thought that that game against Bolton on Saturday, I think we were obviously off to a flying start, and maybe we kind of just slackened off a little bit and fell asleep at times, Glenn.
Do you know what? I didn't see the game. I'll be honest with you. I only caught up on the highlights. I was coaching my kids' team Saturday, and we had a late kickoff. So I didn't see the whole of the game, just the highlights. But do you know what? Does it matter that we slacked off a bit? You're winning 4-0 or 3-0 at the time, and it doesn't matter. That's when you conserve your energy a bit. Or do you want to go out and score 8 or 9 goals? But I don't think that would have happened. So there's times where you put the pressure on. There's times where you have a little bit of a breather in the game and sort of just hold it tight and then push on again.
And do you think the 11 that started that game, would you say that's our strongest 11 in with our formation?
It's been the biggest win this season, so I would say yes. There's players on the bench who come on when they're in form, they're very, very good, who would push for a place. it was the strongest team for Saturday, and it proved right.
What about the quality of our free kicks? I mean, for ages we've only had Joby who's taken them, and all of a sudden we've got two or three free kick specialists, Barry.
Yeah, it's always good to have a bit of a change up. And obviously, Joby's one was a fantastic strike, and you know, I don't think they get much better than that. And then it's nice that you've got Connor who can take it with his left foot as well. So you know, that bit of variety, which I quite like. You know, Brophy's got a decent strike in him as well. So yeah, on that front, it's all looking good, to be honest.
Yeah, what impressed me again about Brophy is also his pressing, because he kind of harried their defence into two mistakes. One, we got the penalty from, and one sort of set up Craig Clay's fantastic goal in the second half.
Yeah, he's having a nice spell, bro. So, you know, like Andy said, he's got pace to burn. Really, really quick. I think he's got great attitude towards attacking play. And, you know, long may that continue for him.
He was. I was at the game last Tuesday against Exeter, and up in the stand, sitting behind the dugouts. And when he got dragged sort of early in the second half, he was absolutely gutted. He was absolutely gutted that he got substituted, and you could see it in him. And maybe that's what's pushed him on in training, you know, because he comes back and he plays in midfield, and it's given him sort of a bit of a kick up the backside. Maybe he did need that. Maybe he was getting a bit too comfortable playing at left back and not being as sort of proactive going forward.
So what we're saying is he's had a stint at left back. He's gone there, then gone and played out wide in his preferred position, and roasted the defenders, and had a great time thinking, I'm not going to go and play back there again.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
It's like the opposite when the missus says, "Make you a cup of tea," you do it really bad, so she never asks you again.
Well, my missus is always asking for tea, and it doesn't matter how bad it is. Right, so moving swiftly on from Bolton, the time's ticking down. This week's game against Newport County in the Cup, obviously we want to win. If we win this game, we bank £22,000, and if we make it through to the next round, it's £34,000. So we want to win. You've got happy memories of Gravesend, Barry?
Yeah, Gravesend and North Fleet, I think it's 93. Turbulent times going down at the O's. We've not on a great run with Peter Eustace. And Gravesend, North Fleet, I grew up in Dartford, so that was the next town along. And so I knew quite a few of their players and a lot of the fans that were there. And obviously, as Mark Master Gilstein put in the coverage, it was a villain turned hero, because I gave the ball away to their left winger, who then ran down the wing, put in a cross for Steve Portwell. Now, Steve Portwell, if you don't heard of him, it was a prolific goal scorer in non-league, and it was very unfortunate to get a serious injury to his eye. But off the back of that our game, he went and got a trial at Charlton. But going back to the FA Cup, yeah, so he scored the goal, put them 1-0 up. Now, back then, obviously, it's 93, so nearly 30 years ago, you could bet on teams, and they actually had a bet. All the Gravesend and Northfleet players put lumped on for Portwell to score the first goal, and they got about £10,000 off the back of that. So
How much did they give you for?
I'd like to say I was in on it, Glenn, but unfortunately I wasn't. I was too young and naive then. But
you turn up a training and a brand new car.
And off the back of that, we kicked off. I got us the free kick and scored it, and we end up winning 2-1. So good times. You know, it's always a great, you know, the match of the day cover it superbly well, the FA Cup first round. So hopefully, you know, fingers crossed, we can get into the next round. It's all about, do you want a plum draw? But there is no such thing as a plum draw, really, because you're not playing in front of everyone, and we've already been the curse of that. By getting, you know, the perfect draw this season would have been Spurs, because of what Harry Kane's done for the club. And we get Spurs, and we can't play them because their generosity. We have the. You can't write this. We have the generosity of, oh, go on, lads, take a test. The boys get positive tests back, and we lose the tie. We lose the draw.
Okay, we've got a couple more minutes left. I'm going to stick in a couple of questions that have come in. I'm sorry they're short. This is from Topler JES. Does the panel agree that our midfield lacks creativity?
No.
There you go, in a short answer, Glenn. Do you want to elaborate on that?
Just keep it quick.
Yeah, go on. What's your thoughts on the midfield?
Well, you can't tell me Brophy and JMD, because they are midfielders, they're not forwards, lack creativity.
I think they're gang. I think that, you know, we know what he's talking about. We're talking about the central midfield players. You know, that's what also was on social media. We're trying to kind of like get to the point of, you know, Wright, Cissé, Clay, are they our creative midfield players? Where, you know,
Joby's
very, very good, yeah.
But he can't play 40 odd games, can he? That's the thing.
Well, no, he can't.
No.
He can't. So they'll be looking for, I think they'll be looking at a replacement for January, try to get someone in for next year, because you don't know when he's going to break down or how long it's going to keep going. So I think they'll be openly looking.
They need a young Barry Lakin. That's what they need in there.
Yeah, they do. Actually, what Glenn said there, someone's just literally texted in and they just said, you know, can we make a sign-in with the current COVID situation as it is? Is there money in the bank?
Well, I think if the right player's available, I think they'll make money available. I really do. Because that type of player doesn't come around very often. And if they're running down their contract, I don't think they'll go out and spend money on the player. But I think it'll be somebody who will be coming at the end of the contract, so they can get him on a free and pay him a few more quid in his salary and try and nail him that way. But them players are few and far between. Before we go, Barry, I just want to apologise, because while you've been live on air, I have been sending you a few silly WhatsApp messages, and I'm watching you on the live stream laughing, so sorry about that, mate.
I wouldn't expect anything less, mate.
Well, there you go. There you have it. So, thank you very much, everybody. That's all we've got time for this evening. Thank you ever so much to Barry for joining me in the studio.
No problem, been a pleasure.
Glenn Wilkie and Andy Butler for phoning in. Thanks to Andy Gilson on the buttons, and for you to tuning in for the show. We'll play out with the quote, and as always, come on you O's, and come back Billy Herring, all is forgiven.